Well, I don't know if you've ever stopped by Northumberland Street because of a performance that was so unusual that you had to find out more. As you're drawn into the large crowd, you ask someone what's happening, but they don't know any more than you. And in fact, nobody seems to understand until everything unfolds. Well, that's the picture we have on Palm Sunday, where Jesus stages his arrival in Jerusalem. But people didn't really understand why he was riding on a donkey or what he was going to save them from. And before his death and resurrection, nobody could understand what Jesus was about to do or what it meant for them. Till this point in John's Gospel, Jesus has been saying that his hour has not yet come. It's not yet time. And so he hasn't fully disclosed his plan. But now marks a turning point when, as he enters Jerusalem, the Pharisees' observation is right. The world has gone after him, Jews and Greeks. So finally, Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus explains his mission and what it means for those who would follow him. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're reading this on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection, so we know a little bit more than them back then. And we have the Holy Spirit, which helps us understand. But how often do we still forget what Jesus came to do? Or have a blurred idea about what it really means to follow him today? So we need God's help to understand before we go further. So let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, help us to understand Jesus' mission and what it means to follow him today. We pray that understanding would cause us to love and follow you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, turn with me to page 899 of your Bibles, if you don't have that open. And there you'll find John 12, which was read for us. The first thing Jesus tells them and us is Jesus had to die to save many. From verse 23, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The King is coming for his glory. Not glory from an army, a crown, or a throne, but glory from death on a cross. Why? Well, Jesus gives them a picture of farming. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So a little experiment for you. Take a grain of wheat, keep it in your study drawer, and it will stay there by itself. The next time you check on it, next week, next month, it's still going to be there, probably. Just as it was, a single grain of wheat. But throw a grain of wheat into the field under the right conditions, and it grows and multiplies more and more wheat over time. Just as the wheat has to fall into the earth and die for there to be any fruit, Jesus has to die on the cross to save many. So what happens if Jesus didn't go to the cross to die? Well, then Jesus becomes just another good teacher. Christianity becomes just another faith about doing good. And everyone is doomed because no one is saved from eternal punishment from sin and death. Early Christians wouldn't suffer for Jesus because it's not worth it. There's just no guarantee they would be saved after death. We wouldn't be gathered here today. Or perhaps some of us might. But we'll just be here trying to be better people with the hope that maybe God might accept us. There isn't a good gospel worth living for or telling others about. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, we can't even come to God. There's no hope in anything beyond this life. But if Jesus does go to the cross to die, he bears much fruit. And thank God he has died and rose again to save all who would believe in him. This saving wasn't from the immediate dangers of the Roman Empire or sickness and disease in this life. This was a saving from sin, which causes eternal separation from God if left untreated. And not just saving the Jews during that time, but the world. Jews and Greeks and Gentiles, and later people from all nations across time who would trust in Jesus. Looking around the world and in our church today, we can see that fruit that has multiplied over centuries as more and more have come to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And fruit is born in the lives of you and me as we come to faith in Jesus and continue growing. And then that love flows out from us to tell our families, our friends, our colleagues about what Jesus has done. As God uses those conversations and invitations to draw friends to find out more, some of them will turn to trust in Jesus. And as they start living for Jesus, they will start to do the same thing in sharing the good news with their friends, adding to the fruit born because of one man's death on the cross. Jesus had to die to save many. So have you responded to Jesus' death on the cross for you? Maybe you're like the crowd back then who heard a bit about Jesus from friends and have some idea about him, or all the Greeks who were interested to find out more, and so you've been coming. Well, Jesus tells you through his word today that he had to die to save sinners like you and me, because that's the only way anyone can be accepted by God. Would you accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you today? And if you are trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection, then has fruit been born in your life? Simply put, are you growing in your faith in Jesus, and are you telling others about Jesus? Growing in your faith as you know God more, love him more, and are shaped by Jesus more each day. And a life that is shaped by Jesus will want to share Jesus with others. The first thing Jesus explains about his mission was he had to die to save many. Now, people are still trying to make sense of what that meant. Naturally, the disciples must have been wondering, that's quite the sacrifice he's about to make. But what would it mean for us as his disciples? Well, the Greeks who were interested, they were probably thinking, well, what would it mean for us if we were to follow him? Well, Jesus tells them and us that following Jesus means following his way of dying to self. Have a look at verse 25. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. At this point, if anyone is thinking, well, at least I don't have to do that, right? Suffer like Jesus would, they would have felt the dagger right to the chest. Jesus knows the heart of man that wants to live for himself in this life. Jesus knows the temptation of the world that makes this life appear to be all there is. So he says that if you love your life or prioritize your life, your family, your job, your comfort, you will lose your life in eternity because you haven't truly lived for me. The Jew back then who claims to follow Jesus but hides it from his boss and neighbors out of a fear of losing his job, he has lived his life in this world more than Jesus. So he has kept his job, but he has lost his life in eternity. Well, on the flip side, Jesus says, if you hate your life in this world, you will save your life in eternity. Now, Jesus often used hate in a way that was relative to loving something else. If you follow Jesus, he is your biggest love. He occupies the largest portion of your heart. And that makes the way you see everything else in the world, your family, job, comfort, would seem like hate. And if you hate life like that because you love Jesus the most, you may have lost your job, your family, and your very life in this world, but you've kept your life in eternity. And then Jesus connects his mission to the cross to the path his disciples must follow. If anyone serves me as king, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. But these days, we tend to have a different idea of what it means to follow someone. So if you're a fan of a player on your favorite team, favorite football team, then you might say you follow them, you listen and read any news about them, you buy and wear the team gear, you watch the matches and support whenever you can, sometimes at home, sometimes in person. But there's always a distance between you and them. Right? You can't be out there competing on the pitch with them because you're just not on that level, right? Physically, talent-wise, experience, so on and so forth, sorry to say. But also because that's not expected of us as followers. So you don't have to go through what they do in the vigorous trainings or the high demands of being a borderline top 10 team. But with Jesus, when he says, if you serve me, you must follow me. He's not talking about following from a distance. He's talking about following him on the pitch, playing right behind him as he goes ahead. Any opposition and suffering he faced, you will face too, in some way. And likewise, those following him will share in his glory from victory. Now you might say, well, how am I going to play on the same pitch? Well, that's what his disciples would have been feeling when Jesus said they must follow him just after announcing that he was going to die. Jesus could have turned away from the cross at any moment, but he denied himself for the sake of many. And his disciples would only later understand in a similar way they were to deny their desire for self for Jesus' sake. If the Master faces persecution and suffering, then so must the servant who follows him. A big part of international student work is teaching about the cost of following Jesus that many will face when returning home. Countries and cultures where to be a Christian means rejection from family, losing job opportunities, physical attacks from going to church on Sunday, or denying yourself the chance to marry where Christians are few. The challenges are different and often harder in some places. But it's not just the cost of following Jesus that Christians face in those countries. Wherever we are following Jesus, we are called to follow him in denying self and not prioritizing life in this world. And that's something that I've constantly been challenged with myself. Am I living life on earth more than Jesus? I know it can be easy here to live the comfortable Christian life that's free of having to make big sacrifices. I mean, little sacrifices, that's fine, but big sacrifices, that's easy to live without. All I have to do amidst church gatherings and time of God is carve out enough time for myself, give money to the work of church and others, but make sure I've got enough for myself. Not spend time getting to know my neighbors so I don't have to face the challenge of being rejected for Jesus' sake. I don't have to try to do those things. It comes easy to live for myself. We need to take a hard look at ourselves corporately and individually to ask, are we living this earthly life more than Jesus? Where loving Jesus would mean having some from the church family over in your home, But you decide no because that would disrupt that part of your personal or family life. When there are opportunities to serve the many needs in church, but you think someone else can because I would have to give up 2 weeknights of my time that would otherwise be spent studying. What about the colleagues at work who you've known for years, but when the opportunity or even the thought of talking about Jesus comes up, you think it's better not to say much because they could change the way they think or relate to you at work. Or they might actually be interested, in which case you would have to find the appropriate time outside of work to continue that conversation. Time which could otherwise be spent with the family, sorting the house, or the much-deserved me time that you worked for. Following Jesus means following His way of dying to self. So what does that look like? What does it look like to die to self for Jesus' sake? Well, it starts with our thoughts, decisions, and actions each day. Will we choose to live for self or for Jesus? Choosing not to overwork because our approval and trust is in Jesus. Learning to put our pride aside to love and forgive someone because Jesus has done the same. Whatever situation God has placed you in, single, married, stay at home, dealing with difficult relationships, it all requires self-denial to not choose the easy way out, that will put yourselves before Jesus. Another area we can be dying to self is in our evangelism. Going out of our way to not just find the time, but to make the time to meet those neighbors or parents from school that God has placed you next to, praying for them, inviting them, and telling them about Jesus despite any rejection we might face. Now that is dying to the desire to be approved and accepted by man so that we can proclaim Jesus. For some of us, prioritizing Jesus might mean moving to a different part of the city or world where not many people trust in Jesus. Perhaps a place like Hope Church in Wall's End. We need faithful Christians to join the great gospel work they're doing. Even if it means big sacrifice of leaving the comfort and familiarity of life here, leaving close relationships formed, settling for a lower paid job, changing schools for your children, it's a big sacrifice, but that's denying self-comfort for the sake of Jesus and His kingdom. And especially in times of suffering, deep loss, and enduring great pain, you are loving Jesus most when you hold on to His eternal plans more than you hope in this earthly life. Living for Jesus, living for this life, blames God for any misfortune and does everything humanly possible to make sure nothing else is taken away. So even in your suffering, you are putting to death your desire to hold on to the things of this world when you trust in the eternal life to come. Our priorities and efforts for Jesus' sake don't earn us eternal life, but they are the fruit that show if we are truly living for Jesus as King. So what would it look like for us to die to self for Jesus' sake? Well, following Jesus means following His way of dying to self in all those ways and more. The natural question to follow is it really worth it? Is following Jesus really worth it? Absolutely not if He didn't die on the cross and rise again, because nothing beyond this life would be guaranteed. But since He has died and risen, anyone who follows His life of self-denial will keep life for eternity, where they will share all glory and honor that the Father bestows on the Son. Still, that doesn't make it easy, because we do still live in this world for now, that so often appears to be all there is to life. And we will feel the pain and suffering that comes with following Jesus if we haven't already. But thank God that Jesus has gone ahead of us to suffer and die the worst death. And on Easter Sunday, we're reminded that he has defeated death and his resurrection for all who would trust in him. He only asked to follow his way of life for his sake. So will you follow Jesus by dying to self? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for denying yourself to the point of death on the cross. It's hard to fully understand the magnitude of your death, so we ask that you help us know your mission more each day. Help us by your Spirit to deny ourselves and this earthly life for your sake. We ask this in your name. Amen.